Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I hope everybody is having a good week so far, and I hope it continues to get even better. And hello, Naomi. How's it going?
Hello. Hello, Pam. Going well. I'm really excited to get into the world of Gary Patterson's awesome cartoonist.
Such tearful artwork, isn't it?
Yeah.
So much. Yeah, just makes you smile. And we got poetry that's going to give us laughs and smiles and, you know, all kinds of fun tonight. So
yeah.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. Yes, yes. And I would like to mention, I would like to give a shout out that this coming up next week is our Christmas week, the Late Night Poets Christmas week. And our hosts and hostesses have contests Christmas themed running for their various shows. So please, everyone, make sure to check out those contests put out by our Late Night Poets hosts and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to put you in the holiday mood and, you know, inspire you to write. That's
indeed
definitely going to be fun.
Yeah, I have a show coming up. First year that I do,
yes,
a Christmas,
yes,
show. So it's like my, you know, my baptism of hosting a Christmas themed contest.
Oh, wow, awesome. Yeah, and you got some really great prompts.
I've never done it before.
Oh, that is,
yeah,
really cool. That is exciting. And that'll be for next week's Tuesday show. Yep.
Yeah, I hope I hope people write. I had quite a few nice, awesome poems in already, but, you know, there's a lot of places left. So, I hope people are really inspired. Yeah, I put a lot of prompts as usual. I think I have 40 in there. So, you know, check them out.
Oh, wow.
I just can't stop myself. I see one picture and then I see another and I go, oh, isn't this awesome? Oh, isn't this awesome? I end up with 40 prompts. Oh, well.
You know what? I actually get that because I always end up trimming back. But when I first find an artist that I want to feature, I will easily download somewhere between 40 and 50 prompts. And then I'll start going through them and, saying, do I really need this one? Okay, you know, are these too similar, you know? And then I usually get myself down to, like, between, like, 12 and 20. But, I totally get it, because when you find an artist you really like, you just want to keep going and going. So.
I still have to trim down. As I trim my tree, trim down my props.
Well, after the holidays, we'll all need to trim down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, a little bit about Gary Patterson. He's a very well-known artist, and if he looks familiar, his artwork looks familiar to you, it's because you can find him on calendars, on prints, on your postcards or greeting cards. A lot of people enjoy and collect his artwork. He majored in the study of art in college in Los Angeles, California, and decided after a while that he was going to focus his art career on humor art, particularly pets, sports, things that he knew. And the reason he wanted to go with humor is because he really, in his own words, wanted to make people smile. And so it just really just delightful cartoon style prints. You can actually go to his website and, or even to Amazon. You can even go to places like Amazon and, you know, you can find prints and collector's books and stuff, you know, that, you know, have his artwork on it. One little fun, fascinating fact, if you look at all of his pictures or all of his artwork, there is always a little mouse hidden in that, in the artwork. And that little mouse is named Boo. And what happened is one night when he was up late and painting, this little mouse came out and he fed him some food and then he kept coming out. And so, you know, which kudos to him for making friends with mice. I certainly don't make friends with them, but, you know, it became a part of his painting. And that's kind of a fun thing to do, actually. Like if you look online and you look at his artwork and his paintings, you will discover in each one that little mouse Boo. So I thought that was really fun. Yes, yes, for sure. For sure.
You know, I looked over all the prompts and I never saw a mouse. Now I'm going to look at them more carefully.
Yeah. He is in there, but he hides it pretty well. So... doesn't make it real easy, but he is definitely in there. But but like I said, and you know, definitely looking forward to tonight's poetry. So why don't we go ahead and get the ball rolling, and we're going to start out with a classic poem. I don't know if you're having this trouble, but I am having the worst problems with, like, I have to, every time I post a link or say something in Late Night Poets, I have to refresh my page.
Yeah, it doesn't show up, eh?
Exactly.
It doesn't show up, and then you have to press on, you have to refresh it, and then your message is there, so you never know if it appeared or not.
Usually you have to refresh every once in a while, but tonight, it's like with all poetry, anything I post, I have to refresh every single freaking time.
Didn't the site bug a couple of hours ago, too? I couldn't get
it
on
did.
It. It was right
I
there. Yay.
Yeah, and stuff like that.
Oh,
happen.
My computer's broken. What's the matter with my computer? And I was there pressing. And then I took my cell phone, and then I went on the, and you know, it was the same thing. So I said, oh, it's not me. It's not my problem. So I said, oh boy, I hope the site is up before the show tonight because, you know.
right, but they got it working pretty quickly. They did good with that because I had the same panic moment. But anyways, we will go ahead and get started. And the classic poem I'm going to read is "The Naming of Cats" by T.S. Eliot, and it goes like this: "The naming of cats is a difficult matter. It isn't just one of your holiday games. You may think at first I'm mad as a hatter when I tell you a cat must have three different names. First of all, there's the name that the family use daily, such as Peter, Augustus, Alonzo, or James, such as Victor, or Jonathan, George, or Bill Bailey, all of them sensible everyday names. There are fancier names if you think they sound sweeter, some for the gentlemen, some for the dames, such as Plato, Adidamus, Electra, Demeter, but all of them sensible everyday names. But I tell you, a cat needs a name that's particular, a name that's peculiar and more dignified. Else how can he keep up his tail perpendicular, or spread out his whiskers, or cherish his pride? Of names of this kind, I can give you a quorum, such as Monkenstrap, Quasso, or Coracopat, such as Bombalorina, or else Jellylorum, names that never belong to more than one cat. But above and beyond, there's still one name left over, and that is the name that you will never guess, the name that no human research can discover, but the cat himself knows and will never confess. When you notice a cat in profound meditation, the reason I tell you is always the same. His mind is engaged in a rapt contemplation of the thought, of the thought, of the thought of his name, his ineffable, effable, nine-effable, deep, and inscrutable singular name. End poem. And Naomi, your thoughts on that classic poem?
Oh, what a really delightful. It's I just love the way he goes through all these names. Made me think of my cat's name, which is very particular, I find, because my little cat is named Twig, and there's not a lot of cats named Twig out there. Yeah, and I just thought of a little twig when she used to play all the time with these little twigs out in the yard when she was really a baby, so she's called Twig. Well, in French it's Brindy, but it's Twig in English. But it made me think of that, my cat's name. But but the cat himself knows and will never confess. When you notice a cat in profound meditation, his mind is engaged in a rapt contemplation of the thought, of the thought, of the thought of his name. Yeah, maybe that is what they're thinking of, you know. their sense in life, you know. What's their name? What is their deep name? I just love this, the naming of cats. By T.S. Eliot. First time I saw that, this poem, and really, really awesome poem, awesomely written.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I too really enjoyed this. I actually did not know that the musical Cats was inspired by a group of poems by T.S. Eliot. I just learned them yesterday. Yes.
Wow, I love that musical. Oh, my gracious.
Do you?
When I was a teenager.
It was fun.
I just love that musical, Cats. What is that song there?
Memories?
Pardon me?
Memories.
That's
the song.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yep. Boy. Yeah, that was one of my favorite songs. I used to hum it around the house like all day long.
I used to go around the house singing the song from Annie, "Tomorrow, Tomorrow, the Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow."
Yeah. I love you tomorrow. Yeah, me too.
Oh, too funny. But yeah, this is just a good classic poem.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the rhyme and the repetition, and I enjoyed the humor, and I enjoyed learning something new. So yeah, it was very cool. Oops. And are you still there, Naomi?
Yeah. I just put myself on mute while you're talking. I'm here.
But I figured I figured we might as well start the show out with a classic poem about cats, and who better than T.S. Eliot?
Cool music, cool cats, and cool facts. How that rhymes! And there's going to be a lot of rhyming tonight, I think.
You know what? You're actually right. You are right about that. I read through all the rights for tonight, and the majority are in rhyme. And I think the reason is because oftentimes, and I could be wrong, but it seems from my observation from running contests and doing shows that, you know, when people see like funny, cartoonish, you know, whimsical type art, they really tend to lean towards rhyme.
Yeah, so. I wrote a poem for tonight, and I went with a rhyme. It just goes with the comical, you know, the comical style. I don't know if it's rhyme, you know, fun, and so yeah, awesome. We'll have awesome rhyming poems and fun, delightful writing.
Oh. Absolutely. And speaking of awesome rhyming poems, up next we have Larry and the Bear, Limerick Chain by Dammit Dave. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Yeah. It didn't show up. It's really not showing up, right?
Refresh.
Yeah, I'll refresh.
Because that's what I have to do.
Refresh here. Ah, there. No, naming of cats. Okay, yeah, Larry and the Bear. Okay, a limerick change. For Larry, his first time on skis would cause him to quake in the knees. 'Cause he got quite a scare when he rammed a large bear that started to roar and to squeeze. But Larry thought quick on his feet, so he wouldn't turn to dead meat. He said a quick prayer, then sang to the bear, though he was as white as a sheet. The bear seemed to like Larry's song, and it started humming along. Then by the trail's end, the bear made a friend, though Larry had cracked in his song. And so.
Oh, man.
And you know what? I'm trying to find that mouse.
Great read there, Naomi. This one cracked me up. Well, first of all, when it comes to humor, I love limericks. Limericks and monotetras are my favorites for presenting humor. And this one was great. It was spot on with its meter. It had just delightful humor. Like I said, it cracked me up. You know, I've never been skiing in my life, so I can't relate to that. But as somebody who lives in an area where bears easily come into your yard, I totally could relate to that. And thankfully, though, none have ever, like, jumped at me. I really like this all the way through, but especially the second stanza and the ending. Then by the trail's end, the bear made a friend, though Larry had crapped in his paws. Oh, man. That was such a great take on the prompt. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Oh, you know, this is so funny. I was giggling all through my read. I just couldn't stop. You know, just seeing the picture, of course, first, you know, with the nose sticking over the thigh of the bear, you know, the cartoon itself is really, really funny. But then you get into the right, and, you know, he names the character Larry, and, you know, Larry's my father's name. And we used to ski when I was young. So I kept imagining my dad you know, as a steer.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, you know, I just loved this. You rammed a large bear that started to roar and to squeeze. Yeah, and he, you know, so I just imagine the bear squeezing him there between his legs, you know. And then, of course, the ending, oh, my gracious, that's really, really, I just, you know, just had to laugh out loud. It's so, so funny. Such a great, great write by damn it, Dave here. He really outdid himself. Just amazing.
Oh, absolutely. I have to agree. I have to agree. So excellent comment there. And I'll go ahead and post the next poem. And says, since it shows up, to be like he, all right, let me actually click on it and make sure I'm reading the title right. Yes, to be like he and she by way down upon joy. What sweeter place to catch some rest could find these two best friends, a lucky field of clover leaf as seen through a zoom lens. He dreams a bone, she dreams a mouse, while nature lolls around. A snail is peeping out from house of shell that keeps her sound. And in the sky, the clouds drift slow with some that look like fish. They're blowing bubbles just for show while I make a Christmas wish. I'd like to be where air it's warm, where southern breezes air, enjoying all like live art form, which with nature sharing there. End poem. And Naomi, your thoughts?
This is so neat. And it's, you know, it's so cool that she brought Christmas into it because, you know, the art is like a great, I thought you chose it awesomely because, you know, it is a great, delightful, refreshing start to Christmas, you know, this kind of poetry and this kind of art. And, yeah, I really like that. While I make a Christmas wish, I'd like to be wherever it's warm, where southern breezes air, enjoying all like a light art form with nature sharing there. Yeah, I'd like to be down south too, someplace where it's warm. But this is just amazingly written, you know, and I just love the lines. And in the sky, the clouds drift low with some that look like fish. They're blowing bubbles just for show. Yeah, I keep looking for that mouse. maybe that's
well,
in the clouds there.
Yep.
Just an amazing, amazing write.
It really is. It really is. Wonderful comment there. And yes, the little mouse is actually in the clouds in this picture, which was a really clever hiding place for it. And yeah, this wonderful rhyming poem, just delightful imagery. And you actually read my mind of why I wanted to do this artist and this particular artwork this week was because, well, I didn't choose any of his Christmas artwork because he does do Christmas art. I felt like the delightful and whimsical quality of the art really led nicely into the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought this was just a wonderful write by Joy, a beautiful imagery and metaphors. It was really heartfelt. And, you know, and I like how it's that story that of the two friends who just know how to relax and enjoy the simple pleasures of life. And you know, to me, this makes me smile because it reminds us of how oftentimes we need to remember to be more like our pets and just take life easy and just take time to enjoy the simple pleasures of life.
Yeah. So true. Well said.
Yep. Easier said than done. All right. And up next we have, I need to post a little sooner. That way I give myself that extra time I need. We have First the Tuna, Now the Caviar by Titus Llewellyn. And we have a recording for that. So let me find that. And here we go.
First the tuna, now the caviar. And the dish ran away with the spoon. Oh, cow. The dog ran off with the cat food. And I ain't going to jump over any moon until the spoonful which hurried a lewd comeback with this astronomical lesson. Although the elements surrounding a lunar discovery worthy delicatessen has failed to impress no appetite, the tuna well now it is light years old. The sun shed no light on whatever was how bizarre the lumps of debris was from a paint gun. Had I a rifle, it would be to fire off the caviar. I bemoan that which was mutton bone, pieces of what was mistakenly more feces, strewn around the big fat cat, who said I'll not be blamed with none of that.
Wonderful reading right there, Titus, and thank you for the sound clause. Very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. I enjoyed this one because I'm so used to seeing Titus's more serious classic style poetry that has to do with like love and other heartbreak, topics like that. It has a very classic feel, which is absolutely stunning poetry. But I thought, how clever and fun, and to see him, do a humor write. And I think he really did a great job of capturing the chosen prompt, capturing the personality of that that cat, that picky feline, who doesn't want anything that's set before them. And I really like, although the elements surrounding lunar discovery, well, the delicatessen has failed to impress, no appetite, the tuna, well, now it is light years old. I also really like, I bemoan that which was a mutton bone, pieces of what was mistakenly more faces strewn around the big fat cat, who said, I'll not be blamed with none of that. he really just captured the cat attitude of having no guilt whatsoever. And so wonderful humor and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is just so fun and deliciously delightful. it's like you said, it just captures the demeanor of the stuck up prissy cat. And I just love that first stanza. Oh my gracious, like there's so many references to different rhymes in that first, the children's rhymes, and the dish ran away with the spoon, but first the tuna, now the caviar, and the dish ran away with the spoon. Oh, cow, the dog ran off with the cat food, and I ain't going to jump over the moon, any moon, until the spoonful which hurried elude came back with this astronomical lesson. I just love that how he opened it up, that first stanza there. He clued it so much, You see the child, the child rhymes really jump out in that first poem. And then, all the way through, I think he brought in more like more language, you know, sophisticated language that brought out, you know, the character that character of the cat. So yeah, just amazing. And then, you know, to end it with that last sentence, I'll not be blamed with none of that. And I love the SoundCloud, you know, the sound in the back, you know, like it's like, I don't know, like the music in the background was just phenomenal for this piece. So great, great work, Titus.
It was.
Bravo.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes. Because it was just bouncy, the background music, and I liked that. It fit really well with the light. And I'm glad you pointed out, and I have to agree, it was wonderful how he made this poem like a continuation of a well-known nursery rhyme, and the reference to the dish ran away with the spoon, and oh cow, the dog ran off with the cat food, and I ain't gonna jump over any moon. I mean... It was definitely just fun. I enjoyed it. So, all right. And let's see. Up next, we have Cat Crossing by Paul Brott. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Okay. Cat Crossing. I find myself in a bit of a quandary. Not something I'd admit commonly. Only wanted one bird. Things have gotten absurd. That gnome all alone goes by Barnaby. I should have thought this thing through. Six others in there. Tell me, who knew? I feel like a bridge for both sparrow and pidge. Don't they know I'm their predator? I'm screwed. End poem.
Great read there, Naomi. This was just a fun rhyming brevity. You know, I really like how he captured that image so well, which was a painting of a cat who was obviously trying to get at the birds and the bird feeder and ended up in a very uncomfortable position. It was clever. It was fun. I like that it was really about that cat that got more than he bargained for, you know, and it's great all the way through, but my favorite parts are the fact that the gnome is named Barnaby. I thought that was really cool. And then at the end where it says, don't they know I'm their predator? I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
I really
was great.
Like that.
and your thoughts, Naomi?
Yeah, well, you know, this was just a joy to read, first of all. You know, and only wanted one bird. Things have gotten absurd. And, you know, really written from, you know, I just love that. Because it's really written like as if the cat is talking, you know. And, well, it is the cat talking, so... Really amazing, you know, to really caught the thoughts of that cat in that position. You can just see him there with his face, and you can just hear these thoughts going through his head, you know. So, so well written, Paul Bruce, and, you know, just an amazing, amazing, fun, delicious read and a fun write.
It really is. It really is. And so, yeah, I enjoyed it. Excellent comment there. All right. And up next, we have Family Vacation to the Lake by Pee Wee Cousin. And it goes like this. Grab everything that you wanted to take. Saturday morning, we're headed out to the lake. It's going to be fun, first family trip in quite a grip. Where did Grandpa go? Now he's abandoned ship. Old Uncle Ned came with his boys, Josh and Red. Going to be there, but I really wish they were dead. And Peggy's coming with Cindy Lou, too, who's her girl, the rest of her town folks down in the bayou. Run in the car, let's launch the boat, get the tackle. While getting prepped, Billy was smoking crackle. Melody and cousin three, they saw him do it, spying from under the floor and looking through it. Big old fish ahead for us, we say, but I'll concede. Aside from the fish and water and you and me, it's going to be a long, boring week for one and all. Everyone's telling a fish story about having a ball. Grandpa overboard and oh boy, Dad lost the keys. Billy's in rehab, going to find a shrink for three. Mama left Pa and Josh and Red still ain't dead. Family vacation to the lake, it's good for the head. End poem. And that was wonderful humor. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Yeah. So much going on. This is really like, you know, those family vacations with, you know, all the extended family and you happen to be all in the cottage together and, you know, half of them gets on your nerves while the other, you know, and you have the black sheep there, Billy, you know. That's just smoke and crack. And, you know, this is just amazing. You know, he just took that prompt and just ran with it and expanded it and turned it into a whole tale of a family vacation, you know, a fishing trip at a cottage by the lake. And, yeah, I just love, you know, how he ended it. I love that last stanza, you know, Grandpa overboard, and oh boy, Dad lost the keys, Billy's in rehab, gotta find a shrink for three, Mama left Pa, and Josh and Red still ain't dead, family vacation to the lake, it's good for the head, not for so sure, but so amazing.
It really is.
Here.
Yeah,
cracked me up.
And you're right. It you know, it's he took the prompt, he took the picture, and as you said, he really ran with it. He stretched it out into this story, and I think this is something that almost any one of us can relate to who have been on, as you were saying, an extended family vacation. You know, especially if you live in an area where people like to go fishing. I mean, this has great dark humor in it.
Yeah.
You know, wonderful collection. And I like how he brought so many different characters together. And I like the name of the little girl, Cindy Lou, too, because it made me think of Cindy Lou Who from the Grinch That Stole Christmas. And, you know, and I really... like the humor in this, and let's see, where's my other favorite parts? Big old fish ahead for us, we say, but I'll concede, aside from the fish and water and you and me, it's going to be a long, boring week for one and all. Everyone's telling a fish story about having a ball. And I like that, and I like how you bring in the idea of everyone telling a fish story. I also, I cracked up too. It really made me laugh. The line, "Where did Grandpa go now? He's abandoned ship." It's like right from the get-go. It's one thing after another, and all these people pretending to enjoy each other's company. So, very cool.
And it's so relatable, you know, to so many families too, you know.
Oh, definitely. And I think that's what makes it great is that it is, you know, very relatable. So excellent write and very well done. All right. And posting the next one. And we have Hidden Harmony by Ernest. And go ahead, Naomi, and give that a read for us, please.
Okay. Hidden Harmony. There are some people that are so diverse regarding their aspect, how they act in any way, that one could look at them. The difference are evident and sharp. The different traits are making their dreams, the wishes that they have, the things they want to defer to be specific, while each one has its particular perception. The distinct attitudes do not collide. The choices and ambitions that they have can be achieved with no intrusion or interference from one or from the other. And so it makes that various persons live in perfect harmony and friendship, while the peace and understanding always are the way they lead their lives and see the world. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. This one is beautiful and thoughtful. It was meditative. It was an intriguing take on the prompt. I like where he went with the idea of looking at people who view life in such a way that they are able to find understanding and harmony, no matter who they're around. I thought the title Hidden Harmony was great. I really I've always appreciated the word perception. So I like that stanza. The different traits are making their dreams, the wishes that they have, the things they want to differ to be specific, while each one has his particular perception. I like that. It's almost like the idea of those people who see beyond the veil or beyond, almost like a third eye type feel to it. And I like that this is about people who follow their own dreams while understanding that others will have different dreams. And I also really like the line, and so it makes that various persons live in perfect harmony and friendship, you know, and that's really what our goal should be. I mean, obviously it's not realistic. It's not possible. We can't live in perfect harmony and friendship with everybody, but it's such a beautiful thought, you know, mm-hmm. And so wonderful, right, and very well done. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Yeah, well, I really, you know, thought this was very, you know, thought-provoking. And, you know, we should all strive to be like these people, you know, to see beyond just the black and white, to be able to see all those gray areas that exist in everyone around us and situations and, you know, and just be ourselves and respect others and respect the world around us and just, you like you said, live in harmony and try not to have our distinct attitudes, like you said, distinct attitudes not collide. The choices and ambitions that they have can be achieved with no intrusion or interference from one or from the other. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, just an amazing, amazing write by Ernest, yeah.
It really is. It really is. Yeah, I have to agree. And I like that you brought up the thought that we need to learn to see the gray area in people and in situations. And not just see things in black and white. So I thought that was a great comment there. Thank you. Now, let's see what we have next. I tell you, we're going to have to start coming up with some more conversation if we're going to make this if we're going to make this stretch. Either that or if we have time left, we'll just, you know what we'll do? We'll just read a couple more T.S. Eliot poems about cats.
Yeah, that's it. We'll find cat poems on the web.
Yeah, right.
Come on, Pee-wee, post your cat poems on the board.
Yeah.
There's dog in there. Oh, you have golf and you have fishing.
Yes, golf home, cat home.
You have mouse.
And then,
you have mouse.
And mouse, yes. We can read that poem by Robert Burns about the wee moosey.
Yeah.
Well, we still got more to go through, but then, you know, if we end up getting towards the end too early, we're definitely going to have to think of some creative ways to stretch this show out.
I have a fishing poem because I fish.
Oh, well, there you go.
So.
Yeah, I'm in, yeah. Well, there you go. That sounds good. And I know I have cat and dog poems, so. All right, but we will continue on for now with what we do have because we do have some great stuff. And up next, we have Fish and Bones by Unexpected Bill. And it goes like this. This cat is my hat. I don't care about that. He and I take naps in fields of clover, pussy and rover, lounging together. My friend to the end, when did it begin? As puppy and kitten. Now older and wise, we love the outside. Despise to exercise. In the warmth of the sun, relaxation is fun, two species as one. His head is my bed, escaping the dread, our bodies like lead. A cat and a dog in sunshine and our fog, each sleeping like a log. We do this over and over, my best friend is Rover, found a four-leaf clover. I always dream of fish. He sees bones in his dish. If we only had one wish, the sun would shine every day. We would snooze the time away. Fish and bones, friends at play. End poem. Oh, that was definitely a smile-inducing write. And your thoughts, Naomi?
I just thought it was so tender. Such a tender write, you know. Of course it's about the prop, a fish and a cat and a dog, but it could be about, you know, could it be a metaphor for best friends, you know? It could very well be, but I just love, you know, all parts of this, in fields of clover, pussy and rover lounging together. And my friend to the end, when did it begin? That's puppy and kitten. The friends from the beginning. You can just see them, you know, adopted together into the same house as a young kitten and puppy. And then, you know, becoming best friends. Just had that light-hearted feeling of tenderness throughout it. And just a lovely, lovely write. And, I just love that last stanza. The sun would shine every day. We could snooze the dime away. Fish and bones, friends at play. Just so well written all throughout. So thank you so much, Unexpected Bill, for sharing this. Just a delightful write all the way through.
Absolutely. And you're right. This is a wonderful representation of not only the artwork, but of the whole concept of friendship and what it means to be able to both have fun together and relax together. You know, and I liked the imagery in this. It was delightful. It was fun. I really liked and can relate to now older and wise. Well, I don't know about wise, but we love the outside, despise to exercise. I thought that was just great. That was great. And I like how he wrote from both of their perspectives. He starts out writing from the perspective of the dog. The cat is my hat. I don't care about that. He and I take naps. And then it turns to the perspective of the cat. We do this over and over. My best friend is Rover. You know, I thought that was really neat how he got both characters in there, you know, talking. I thought it was also clever that he named them Fish and Bones. I thought that was really cool. And in his AN, he said, "This artwork really brought out the limericky fun side of my emotional scale, charming and endearing with a touch of silly. I hope it reads from that place." And I definitely think it read from that place. In fact, I told him that it was a fun, uplifting write about two best friends who enjoy life and dreams to the fullest. And that I enjoyed that the way the limericky, the artwork brought out his limericky fun side. And he responded with, "The spirit of the artwork was so light, but had a depth too." And I have to agree with that. There is, you know, this is whimsical. It is fun. It is lighthearted, but there is a depth to it too, because it speaks about everyday life. You know, that things that we kind of forget to think about and appreciate.
So true.
And, in fact, I would say, although I didn't write to it, one of my favorite pictures in this artwork in this that makes a good point is the one where the guy is fishing with all the expensive fishing rod and the expensive fishing equipment. And he's catching no fish, and the boy just has a stick with a string and hook, and he's catching. Yeah, I thought that one was so great.
my brothers would always say that I could speak to the fish because I always seem to catch one, you know. And, I never used anything really sophisticated. I just, you know, just with patience and just with the way I move the rod, you know, you just have to feel the fish. I always said to my brothers, "You just have to feel the fish. You feel them." And they said, "You're crazy." I said, "Oh, you
that
feel
is awesome,
fish.
Though." That is really awesome. You know, I never had the patience for fishing. You're like the fish whisperer. And say that three times fast. Fish whisperer. That is really cool. That is really cool. No, I enjoy eating fish, but I've just never had the patience to go fishing, which is why I depend on other people to catch my fish for me. So, and up next we have Makeover by Weaver of Dreams. And for this one, we also have a SoundCloud. So here we go.
Voice over by my 7-year-old daughter on YouTube. Welcome to this, our weekly makeover show. I've worked hard on these new looks, I must say. Mostly they seem happy, except for one face. I feel Miss Kitty LaPew doesn't want to play. Such a shame, because I gave her the best. A ballerina skirt, lovely jewelry, a cute hat. Ladies and gentlemen, sorry she looks cross. I don't think she'll get any happier than that. Our show is over for today. Thank you for watching. The next day, voiceover, daughter, toys, etc. Welcome to the aerobic show. Unfortunately, Miss Kitty LaPew won't be attending today.
When she saw her neon pink workout clothes, she proceeded to attack as if they were prey. After that show, we didn't see the cat for 3 days.
Oh, man. I just, this is awesome, isn't it? Your thoughts, Naomi.
This makes me think of my granddaughter, Oceane. That's a French name. It's hard to pronounce in English. But, you know, she just, I don't know if you saw that picture I put up in one of the poems I had about the kids, my daughter dealing with the every day. And she's on the couch and she has the chicken and the chicken, the rabbit, the dog, and what else does she have? Anyway, they had a chicken, a rabbit, a dog, and a cat. Well, actually, they had two chickens, a rabbit, a cat, a dog. And, you know, and she's sitting there, she's laying on the couch with all these animals all around her. And, you know, and she'd dress up everything. She'd dress up the rabbit. She'd dress up the cat. She'd dress up the poor dog. And, you know, this made me just laugh out loud, you know. This is so, so well written by Weaver of Dreams. Oh, my gracious. And the way her voice read it, too. You know, when she saw her neon pink work clothes, she proceeded to attack as if they were prey. After that show, we didn't see the cat for 3 days. Yeah, just so, so realistic, you know, with a kid, you know, playing and dress up with their pets. Just an amazing, amazing write that brought back so many memories to my mind. So just amazing.
Yeah, I'll have to check out that poem with that picture of your granddaughter. I can just imagine that. It just sounds absolutely adorable and funny. You know, I really like this all the way through. It was fun. It was, again, relatable. It was, you know, just clever. It was wonderful humor, great story writing. It really cracked me up. And I'm so glad she did a reading, a recording of it. I like that she named the cat Miss Kitty, like the character from, is it Gunsmoke? Yes. Yes. I thought that was really clever to name the cat Miss Kitty La Few.
Yeah, that was really great.
That was. And the funny thing is that this not only covers the idea of how much kids love to play dress up when they're little, but how big they are into the whole YouTube craze. Like, out of my four kids, three of them at one point or another wanted to become a YouTube star. It did not happen.
Like my son. Thank you. My son kept singing rap and putting them on YouTube. And then he didn't have the best. He didn't have the best voice. I don't, so you can imagine his. And he always was coming to me. Look at this, mom. Look, listen, listen. And, you know, you're a kid, so you have to say, oh yeah, bravo, and share it too on Facebook. You know.
So, Oh, that is too funny. But yeah, I did like how this was about that cat Miss Kitty who becomes an unwitting participant in the next YouTube craze. And yeah, that ending was great. After that show, we didn't see the cat for 3 days.
Yeah. But the name, like you said, Miss Kitty left you. It sounds like a something from a Paris cabaret, you know.
It does. It does. Yes, you're right. Like she's a performer in the Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, excuse me, man. I've got this cough that's catching up with me. All right. And Naomi,
I spread my germs.
I've gone. Yep, I have put your poem up, so go ahead and give it a read for us,
okay,
please.
I was hunting for that picture with my dog granddaughter. Okay, I'm going to refresh here and refresh again. Ah, not showing up.
Yeah, you might have to, I know I put it in there, so you might just have to refresh again.
Okay, there it is. Okay, well, I went and did a rebel again. So I went and hunted through Gary Patterson's work, and I chose another prompt. Sorry. I thought this one was really cool. So this is called Your Fault. Oh, dear. What happened here? Shouted Alice, looking down, 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 with the angriest of frowns. Her cat all princessly looked at her oh so innocently. I haven't a clue, I swear. The sofa ate itself to shreds. Toilet paper just got up and fled. Don't stare at me that way. I was just sleeping the day away. I'm telling you it's true. Through the room, everything flew. All the house went hectic. I did try to stop it. The whole place is haunted. Anyway, it's quite all your fault, it seems. You left me here all alone. Just so, so mean. Not appreciating quality time with just me and you. Preferring to run off to some secret rendezvous with queens, rabbits, and yeah, I heard another cat who came all the way from Cheshire at that. End poem.
Oh my gosh, this was great, Naomi. You know, with this artist, he has so much artwork out there. There is just no way I could get every one of his paintings. So I'm really glad you decided to go bouncing around on the internet and looking at his artwork and found a picture that inspired you. I'm a big fan of Alice in Wonderland writes, and I like that you took this familiar character, Alice, and anyone who's watched the Disney version or read the book knows that she has her cat that keeps her company while she's reading books, you know. And so I like that you take these two well-known characters and you put them in this everyday situation. And you have such clever references to Alice in Wonderland while relating it to the picture. I really like where you said, oh, dear, what happened here? Shouted Alice, looking down, 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 down with angriest of frown. And you can just imagine, this Alice, like her hands on her hips, glaring down at the kitten, you know, with that look. And I like the way you placed down, down, down as like they were steps. I also like how you bring in the cat playing all innocent and princessly. Her cat all princessly looked at her oh so innocently. I haven't a clue, I swear. And then the great references in the end stanza. And this is awesome all the way through. But, you know, the references to the queens, the rabbits. And, oh, yeah, I heard another cat who came all the way from Cheshire at that. So This one definitely made me laugh and smile, and I very much enjoyed it. Did you want to say anything about your poem?
Oh, no, I just, I just had so much fun, you know. It's rare that I get to rhyme. I leave myself go, but, you know, it was just so fun. It was just so fun writing to that prompt. It was so delightful.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad you had fun with that. And all right, so I'm going to go ahead and read my poem. And obviously, since you're the only person here, you just go straight into commenting when I'm done reading. So,
yeah.
Okay. All right. This is Friends on an Adventure. And it goes like this. The gang is all out for a ride, traveling down roads far and wide. They are taking life in grand stride. They bounce and glide. They bounce and glide. They have all the windows rolled down, packed in the car like they are clowns. They're going to have lunch in Cape Town, croon like James Brown, croon like James Brown. Little Lupe, Trapper, and Trey, having an adventurous day. Three friends always happy to play, adopted strays. Murray, he adores his whole pack, despite drool getting on his back. For adventure, they have a knack. Love they don't lack. Love they don't lack. And poem.
Ah, this is just amazing, Pam. And, you know, like you said, you put in that tenderness into the poem, although it's really, really, you know, it's so delightful. And it has a funny side to it. It also has, you know, that tenderness that, you know, that's in the prompt, you know, all those pets together there. I just like the little loop, Trapper and Trey, having an adventurous day. Three friends always happy to play, adopted strays. And croon like James Brown, croon like James Brown. I can just see them singing there in the car, bouncing along on the road. Murray adores his whole pack, despite drool getting on his back. But I love the repetition you put. You know, the repetition in the last line of every stanza that really made the poem really pop, you know, and gave it a nice flow. So just beautifully done all the way through. Amazing right here, Pam.
Thank you. Yeah, the repetition is actually because of the form. It's a monotetra, which is you know, four-line stanzas of the end rhyme being the same. And every line is actually eight syllables, but the syllable in the last count in the last line is broken into four and four. So that, which I think makes for, like, yep. So
I have to study these different forms of poetry.
Well,
in
the
I was an English teacher, but you know, to grade 5 and 6 students, so you know, I taught them to say hello and goodbye and my name is. So I was far away from teaching poetry.
Oh man. And there's so many different forms out there, and the majority of them I can't get. You know, some forms I have tried to write and have ended up getting a headache because it's too much. But I will say, if you're new, like you don't usually write forms, a good a monotetra and limericks are two really good ones to dive into.
Yeah.
As well as, you know,
I think I know, but the other is what?
Monotetra.
Monotetra. Oh, okay.
Yep. Yep. And but yeah, I too had fun writing to that prompt, and it was, you know, and I'm glad you noticed that the tenderness in there as well as the humor, because I was trying to bring that out. You know, I was trying to bring out, especially in that line, you know, three friends always happy to play adopted strays, you know, the importance of, if you have that option, you know, adopt a pet. So
yeah. Yeah, the best dog I had was from the pound. And, you know, she was really, you know, I adopted her at 4 years old, and she was just the best dog I ever had. You know, I just adored her. So, yeah.
Yeah. That is sweet. That is. All right. Up next, I have Time Will Tell by Ruth M. Martz. And will you go ahead, Naomi, and give that a read for us, please?
Okay. Can you read it, Pam? And I'll read the next one.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Time Will Tell by Ruth M. Martz. When I take a bath with you, I hope I don't get fleas. Time will tell. The cat is running out. Who will get the mouse? Time will tell. We are being watched. Our bubbles cover us up. Will we ever be able to get out? Time will tell. There is water on the floor. Will mother have a fit? We don't want to be around if that happens. Let's get out before it does, for we know it will. Oh, man, I enjoyed this one. Great humor. And Naomi, would you like to share your thoughts, or do you need me to comment first?
No, it's just amazing. You know, when I take a bath with you, I hope I don't get fleas. Time will tell. And the more that she goes down, you know, the more that, yeah, time will tell. This is just, you know, I just love the way, you know, the repetition of time will tell, and the way that the poem just grows. We are being watched. Our bubbles cover us up. Will we ever be able to get out? Time will tell. And then the last one, we don't want to be around if that happens. You know, if mom has a fit, let's get out before it does. We know it will. Yeah, just amazing right to that prompt by Ruth here. And yeah, Ruth, you should have phoned in. We would have loved to have you with us tonight. And just an amazing right.
Yeah, maybe next time.
Amazing right.
It really is an amazing right. And she uses the repetition well to strengthen the poem and the humor in the poem. I too liked, as you were mentioning, that the first like three stanzas were the repetition of time will tell with each thing. But then when it comes to knowing how mom's going to react to the mess, it's for we know it will happen. And you know, it also made me think of like that first stanza, when I take a bath with you, I hope I don't get fleas, time will tell. It made me think of the quote, and I don't remember who said it, but I remember the quote, lay down with dogs and you'll stand up with fleas. And, you know, just a delight to read, wonderful use of repetition. You know, I really also like how the imagery of we are being watched, our bubbles cover us up. Will we ever be able to get out? Time will tell. They don't actually look like they want to get out.
No, they look like they're having a ball.
And all right. Let's see what we have here next. All right. Up next, we have Shooting Birdies by Scott Sharp, and we have a SoundCloud for that. And Naomi, will you do me a favor, and I'll be right back. When this is done, will you go ahead and just go straight into commenting?
Okay. Sure thing.
All right. And here we go.
Shooting Birdies. The poetry of golf is tangible. Hacking at a ball, chopping as if firewood for the long winter. Shooting off rocks, tree limbs, small animals knocked out cold by the errant ball. Standing in bushes, cactus, cold, crisp creeks to avoid losing a stroke or losing a ball. Waving to fellow golfers plowing through the bushes on rental carts looking for balls, dropping unnervingly like rain in a monsoon off par. Keeping a cool demeanor, although burning, a fuse lit, a time bomb ready to explode. Heads up, wherever you are. Reaching the green, the flag, chipping from sand traps with sand shovels called wedges. Lofting skyward, all hope, aiming for eagles and birdies to drop from the clouds, golf ball-sized hail, dropping, bouncing, rolling into the hole. 12 shots over par, wishing for a quadruple bogey. A couple on a cart drive by, and maintaining my cool, I scream out, "Birdie!" And they smile, driving through the bushes, looking for their ball. Maybe they will find a couple of mine, too.
Oh, just amazing. I found this so, so funny. Oh, my gracious. It's just like that. It just reflects the frantic nervousness that a golfer can get into when he's so invested in his game and making the par, or you know, making that birdie or an eagle. You know, I know those terms because you know I play golf a bit, but you know, this is just such an amazing poem, so well spread out and so well written. I just with sand shovels called wedges, lofting skyward all hope, aiming for eagles, which is two below, and birdies, which is one hit below. To drop from the clouds, golf ball-sized hail, dripping, bouncing, rolling into the hole, 12 shots over par. My gracious, that's an awful golfer there. Wishing for a quadruple boogie. Yeah, quadruple boogie. A couple on a cart drive by, and maintaining my cool, I scream out, "Birdie," and they smile. Driving through the bushes, looking for their ball. Maybe they will find a couple of mine too. That was just hilarious. Good job, Scott, on this poem. And Pam, are you back?
I am, actually. Yes, I came back just in time to hear you laughing. So
oh, this is hilarious.
It really is. And I'm not a golf player, but, you know, I do know some of the, I do recognize some of the terms. And, you know, you can tell, and I really like that you can tell that Scott had fun with this. And as always,
oh,
he's
yeah.
just got an amazing reading voice. And you can definitely tell that he either did his research or he plays golf. Because not only does he have the terminology, but as you were mentioning, he caught the whole kind of nervous excitement of it all.
Oh, yeah. And there's these golf players that they're so, like I said, invested in their game. Oh, my gracious. It's like, you know, when they putt or whatever, you know, you can't say a word, and you know, you can't disturb the concentration. You know, he just caught everything in there.
He really did. He really did. Yeah, my roommate likes to watch golf, and he always says that I would appreciate it more if I understood it. But I don't know about that. But, yeah, I really enjoy this write all the way through. Clever references to golf. I really like the part where he says, keep a cool demeanor, although burning a fuse lit, a time bomb ready to explode, heads up wherever you are. And the 12 shots over par and the ending. Birdie, and they smile, driving through the bushes looking for their ball. Maybe they will find a couple of mine, too. That was just really great. Here in this area, we have a local golf club that does a once a year, like during the summer, they do a family day where you get to go through, like play golf for free with your kids. And then they serve a free lunch. And me and when my kids were little, we used to go with my mom and their grandpa and just, you know, enjoy that. Like, even though we didn't play golf any other time, it was just really fun to get together and to do that. So mm-hmm. It's definitely brought back good memories for me. I enjoyed that. But,
he's listening to us, Scott. So, hi, Scott. I know you're listening. He just commented on my phone. That's why.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm glad he was inspired to write. Very much so. All right. And up next, we have, got to refresh again. All right. Up next, we have Carrico Carol by Luke J.R., and this is another one we have a recording for. So here we go.
Carrico Carol. Little bird. Every day that we rest our wings on a furry feline. Little baby bird, it's not every day that we rest our beaks on the back of a feline. Other birds. Okay. Claw marks resurface on the old oak tree, where birds had resided waiting for me. Where I once stood looking upwards towards the sun, for there was only ever one. Her restless claws began to tire. The birds sung on a wire. With all that stood in their way, a kitten crying as I pray. The clouds concluded what I once knew. As the blue sky poured over our view, it's sad to say that I was reminded of you. Little bird. It's not every night we're able to rest our wings on a feline. Little baby bird. Okay. Other birds. Claw marks resurfaced on the old oak tree, where birds once resided, waiting for me. Where I once stood, looking downwards towards the moon, for there was only ever one. Within seconds, fur flew upwards into a spiral. Winds had blew together, causing me to smile. While the birds were no more, my tears recited for the final floor. For I saw myself in the shadow of a fallen feline, a grim reminder that it held on to those birds. And that's when I found her. Whispering, silent words.
Great reading right there, Luke. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. I really enjoyed this one. It was clever and fun. It gave serious thought along with the kind of the delightful humor that came with it. You know, and I don't even know if it was meant to be humor, but I guess. But I guess there's something about the back and forth to me, you know, especially the part that really, I really like how it does have that back and forth, how it is. There's the thoughts of the little birds coming out. It's not every night we're able to rest our wings on a feline. Okay. And like, you could just imagine these little birds chattering. But then there really is some serious thoughts here also. And I like how this had really strong imagery and metaphors, and it looked at the plight of the cat, who can be seen as a metaphor for a person that tries to hold others up and ends up getting stabbed in the back. And I also like how he brings out that innocent, almost like fascination of the little birds. And I like this all the way through, but my favorite part was where he says claw marks resurfaced on the old oak tree. And I like that because it makes me think of the song Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree, which works really well with the fact that there's a yellow moon in the picture. So just a really clever write and very well done. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Getting off mute here. Yeah. Yeah, I thought this was, you know, such a very creative, unique write to the prompt. And like you said, Pam, you know, there is, you know, the humor of, you know, thinking of those birds walking across the back, and, you know, not every night we're able to rest our wings on a feline. And, you know, it's not every day we rest our beaks on the back of a feline. But, you know, those little birds, it's just, there's something funny in that. But there's also a serious, thought-provoking message in this, I think. You know, he writes in his AN, it's a reminder of the loss of perception. And, you know, you see that when my tears resided for the final flaw, for I saw myself in the shadow of a fallen feline, a grim reminder that it held on to those birds. That's when I found her whispering silent words. Found her whispering silent words. Found maybe someone that used to hold them up or hold them to reality, or hold his world up, I don't know. Like the bird, like the cat is being kind of held up by those birds in a way. You know, I don't know. It is thought, food for thought, words for thought here. But, you know, just an awesome, very creative, unique take on the prompt that we haven't seen so far tonight. So amazing.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Really? Yeah, and you're right. It is a creative take on the prompt, and it does definitely offer up food for thought. Excellent comment there. And let's see what we got next. All right, up next we have Uncle Pete's Pour Me Dance by Pink Fairy 5. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay, Uncle Pete. Pour Me Dance. Uncle Pete agrees to take his great-grandnephew fishing to Lake Mar. I don't have a pole, Larry says. No prob, says Pete. We can share. I'll make my own rod, the 9-year-old says, and grabs a twig of a stick. Uncle Pete is decked out in expensive duds. His fishing tackle box is thick. Look, I caught one, Larry yells, flinging a giant bass out of the lake. This startles Pete, who thinks this must have been a little mistake. But Uncle Larry keeps flinging catfish, walleye, and groupie out of the water. His plain and expensive fishing rod just gets hotter and hotter. Uncle Pete is sitting on a rock, staring at frogs on rocks, thinking he should have worn his lucky croaks. Larry offers to trade places so Uncle Pete will have a chance, but Pete didn't have luck there either and did the poor me dance. End poem.
Oh, man. Great, great read there, Naomi. I have to say, I really enjoyed this one. That was the picture I was talking about, and I thought she really captured it well, and she captured the characters. One of the things I noticed about some of these writes that is that this artwork inspired people to create characters and give them names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it wasn't just the man and the boy. It was Uncle Pete and his great-grandnephew. I like that she named, you know, so we've got Pete and Larry, and I like this all the way through. It was great storytelling, wonderful humor. I like how she captured the idea of how sometimes it just doesn't pay to buy that expensive equipment. And my favorite one lines, though, were the second stanza. I really like that. With the look, I caught one, Larry yells, flinging a giant bass out of the lake. This startles Pete, who thinks this must have been a little mistake. And then at the end, where Larry offers to trade places so Uncle Pete will have a chance, but Pete didn't have luck there either and did the poor me dance. Oh, man, great write. And your mm-hmm. thoughts, Naomi?
Yeah, I just love this write, you know, and it reflects, you know, the fisherman reflects the seriousness of, you know, the golf player. You know, there's these fishermen that, you know, they're out there, they have to catch the biggest fish, and that's their goal in life, you know, to catch the biggest and the best fish they can get, you know, like the golf player, and then Scott's poem where they have to score the you know, the well, in golf it's the lowest score, but you know, they have to play their best game. You know, it as a reflection of that, you see the fisherman with all his, like you said, all the best equipment, and the little boy just enjoying, you know, with the simplest things in life and just enjoying himself, and he's getting the best catch of the day. So, you know, I think it's just a reflection of, you know, the importance of the simple things in life, and just, you know, to enjoy them and appreciate them. I think that could be a message, a very important message that you, from this poem, from that picture, and so well written by Big Perry 5 here. I really, really enjoyed this one.
Yes. Yeah, me too. Me too. And I like how you mentioned that a reminder to enjoy the simple things in life. You know, and that seems to be another theme that we have going in some throughout the writing tonight, is a reminder to enjoy the simple pleasures of life. So
mm-hmm.
very cool. I like that. And, I'm actually going to have you read the next one, which is a shorty, and I'm going to have you do that because I'm going to read the one after,
and then I'm going to have you read your second. So up next, we have Mulligan Stew by Keith Palethorpe. And go ahead, Naomi, and give that a read for us.
Mulligan Stew. Truth be told, the gators overfed, too plump to make a hole in one of Fred. So Fred will live to tell the tale of dragons bigger than a whale. 'Twould have been different by a mile had the reptile been a crocodile. End poem.
Great read there. Great read. And, you know, I really enjoyed this one. It was a wonderful limerick. I thought it was funny that he chose to write a limerick and titled it Mulligan Stew, which is an Irish stew. So that in itself was clever and fun. You know, this had great rhyme and flow. And I liked it all the way through because it's difficult to separate one line from the other. But I particularly liked the imagery of dragons bigger than a whale. And, you know, it just really was quirky and fun. And the 'twould have been different by a mile had the reptile been a crocodile. Because it makes you think of the crocodile from Peter Pan who had swallowed the clock and was always chasing Captain Hook. Or at least it does me. So excellent, fun write, and very well done. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Yeah, really, really well said, well written. The gators overfed to plump to make a hole in one, a Fred. So, you know, that's amazing line just there, right in the beginning. I love this all the way through. You know, just so well written and so clever. So clever the way he laid this limerick out. And, you know, and the title too, as you said. So just bravo, Keith Palethorpe. Amazing, amazing little write here. So delightful.
It really is. It really is. And, all right. And now I'm going to put up the next poem. And let's see here. All right. Up next, we have, got to refresh. Hopefully that problem will be fixed soon. The Heart of the Man by Rain 474. And it goes like this. Valance of relationships nests in the gallant moments woven in the Cayman tub, titillating your cute bow, sailing on cloud nine dew, multiplying your happiness hue, embracing the company in the arms of your honey, exponentially expanding his smile, scrubbing his wife and feeling her loving vibes in every of her sweet smiles, admiring her man's heroic dives to please her beautiful wife, stealing pranky restroom life, and somehow managing the merry moments woven with the lace of love, carving in the loving man's brain, igniting the engines of the train, preparing daily honeymoon planes. End poem. And your thoughts, Naomi?
I'm going to go see what that prompt 11 is, because I
know. It was actually the boy. The boy and the dog in the bath, bubble bath.
Oh,
so it was a different take on that prompt.
Very creative. Yeah, she went with a really, you know, embracing the company in the arms of your honey, exponentially expanding a smile. Scrubbing his wife and feeling her loving vibes in every of her sweet smiles. I love the flow and the rhythm of this poem all through. You know, and what a unique take to that, that prompt, you know, the heart of a man, she really ran with this, that prompt in a unique, very creative direction. My gracious, you know, so amazing to see where prompts take the poets. You know, I'm always amazed, you know, and it says, wow, you know, she thought of that or he thought of that. My gracious, you know, just amazes me every time the way the human brain works, you know, so the imagination of the people. But this is an amazing, amazing right. So bravo, Rain 474.
Absolutely. And it is fun to see how people take the same prompt in different directions. And I thought that was really cool that Rain 474 looked at this picture and saw this, you know, kid and this dog taking a bath and thought of the whole idea of, you know, the little things that make a difference in a marriage. And that's what this rite really spoke to me on. I mean, it has beautiful imagery. It's an excellent rite on making a marriage successful with joy and love and even doing those little things for each other, paying attention to each other, or stealing those little moments, like admiring her man's heroic dives to please her beautiful wife, stealing pranky restroom time. It kind of makes me think of how you steal away from the kid to get a little bit of that romantic couple time, you know? And Oh, man. And, you know, I really like the idea of, you know, treating every day like it's a honeymoon day. So preparing daily honeymoon planes, I thought was wonderful imagery. So just a delightful, heartfelt rite and very well done. And very cool. All right. And Naomi, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put your other poem up and go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Okay. So actually, you do see the image of that's my granddaughter, and that's her. Her pet
oh my goodness,
there.
That is so freaking cute.
So, and there's missing the cat there. My daughter, how does she do it all? Between chicken scratches, dog yelps, rabbit droppings, and two daughters in tow, she manages her business, keeps her house at least half clean, makes a mean spaghetti sauce, and fills those lunch boxes to the brim with a scribbled note on each napkin that puts a grin on freckled faces of two little girls in class each day. How does she manage? I often ask myself as I open the door and hear her hum. I just have a million songs dancing through my brain, she answers with a laugh. The only way I'd ever stay sane. And she bustles through the house, picking up a sock, a mitten. Oh, darn, she says. May, forgot this. It'll be recess soon. Have to drop it off at school right away. Stuffing the mitten into her pocket, she's already out the door, and I smile as I hear her singing all the way to her van. Oh, and I forgot the cat as it scurries past my feet out into the yard. Well, the least I can do is catch the meowing thing and poem.
Oh, my gosh, that was great. And I actually do now remember this, right? Obviously, I have a limited memory for poems because this was written like 2 years ago. But it really was perfect for tonight. You know, I like the humor in this. Love that picture. I mean, it's so great how your granddaughter just looks so casual, you know, and she's got her bunny and a chicken. That's the part that really cracks me up is the chicken. You know, so just, you know, aww, I mean, it's so sweet of a picture and so funny of a write. And, you know, I like that you show your daughter like so many other mothers who try their very best and definitely have their strengths and their wonderful things they do, but also, you know, struggle a bit, you know, to keep the house
she's
clean.
Single.
You know.
She's single.
Oh, yeah.
Too,
oh,
so
yeah.
Two kids, yeah, and a job. And
yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it is not easy. But, yeah, I think this is wonderful humor, right? But it's also very heartfelt. It's a wonderful tribute to your daughter. And I
Pam.
Really like
Pam.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I remember us discussing that before. You have one daughter named Pam and one named Kim, and I actually
yeah.
my sister's name is Kim. Yep.
Yeah.
So but I like the line, make the mean spaghetti sauce. And she bustles through the house picking up a sock, a mitten. Oh darn, she says. And I do like the ending too, where you go, well, the least I can do is catch the meowing thing. So oh man. And anything you'd like to say about your poem?
Well, she is always singing. Like my daughter has this amazing brain. Like she was this kid, one of these children that, you know, at the age of 3, she knew how to read. She did math. And, you know, and she just had this amazing ability to concentrate, even young. And so when
oh,
she went to kindergarten, they all thought there was something wrong with her because she wasn't speaking and that. And I said, no. I said, they passed her a bunch of tests and they found out that, you know, she would fit into grade 2 more than she'd fit into kindergarten by far. But she had this amazing memory, and she's the kind that she listens to a song once, and she knows all the lyrics by heart. Like I never understand how she does it, because, you know, I can listen to a song 100 times and I don't know the lyrics, but she just amazes me. And that's why the singing, you know, she just hums, she just sings everything that's out there. But she has the worst voice. I know, you know, she can't keep a melody, but she sings all the time anyway. So,
oh,
yeah,
that is fun. That is fun. Really cool. Well, I'm not going to try to put in another right, and we finished them all up. I'll just wrap it up with, you know, I think we'll discuss some upcoming shows, but I'd like to say thank you, Naomi, for spending the last 2 hours with me. I really appreciate you and your company. It was a great show. To Pee-wee for being on the board. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Please make sure to keep an eye out on all the contests and topic boards put up by our late night poet hosts and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire, and that includes the contest for Christmas week. Now, tomorrow, 10 p.m., not 10 p.m., sorry, 12, 1 p.m., sorry, Jeevan, 1 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, we have
You'll
Keeping
It
Brief, Naomi.
Yeah,
right. What's happening for Keeping It Brief?
Oh, my gracious, I don't know. We have the poems on the board. It's open poetry. So I invite anybody that just has a brevity to pop it on the board. I'm still running out after co-hosts. I'll see what happens there. But we'll all be there. I'll be there. Pam will be there.
And yeah, and you know, we'll get those brevities read, those awesome brevities of yours. So looking forward to it. So
wonderful. I always enjoy listening. Yes. Very cool. Very cool. It's always fun to analyze brevities or and comment on them and listen.
Mm-hmm.
So very cool. Very cool. And then 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, we have me and Naomi again. We're like the dynamic duo of Wednesdays. And for the art of seduction.
With the most amazing prompts again, Pam. Wow. Those are so sultry, those paintings. Oh, I just had the right to it.
Yeah.
I had this, like, I found this gypsy vibe around them. I don't know.
There really is. Yes, you're right. Now, the artwork of Pino Denai, or however you pronounce his last name, I'll have to look that up, is just, it's sensual. But it's not vulgar. It's
no.
Stunning. You know?
Mm.
So beautiful.
Yeah, so well done.
Mm. Yeah. And I had come across his artwork actually when during National Poetry Month.
Okay.
I was trying to do that. Yes. And so I actually had a pre-write that I had written to one of the paintings in the contest. And I had been waiting for a long time and finally decided it was time to run that contest. And then for Headliners Ball, 12:30 a.m. on Thursday, we will be headlining the poetry of Randy G. and Chinaski. Then,
oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. Always a great show. I enjoy hanging out with Jeremy and the poets that he brings on. And it's always great fun and just really thought-provoking to be able to discuss people's poetry and poetry in general with them.
Mm-hmm.
And for Break On Through at 12:30 a.m. on Saturday. I don't have a contest running, but I do have a topic, not Saturday, 12:30 a.m. on Friday. I have a topic board up for that. I would like to mention a couple contests that I know for sure need some contests that I know for sure need rights, and that
mm-hmm.
is for Sunday's Rhythm and Rhyme. Rex is running a contest with jazz music as prompts.
Oh, wow.
And
cool.
Yeah, so definitely check that out. For Saturday's The Solace of Shadows, I am running a contest with music from The Nightmare Before Christmas. And for Saturday's Bad Company show, I am running a contest with quotes from Black Elk. So make sure to check those all out. And
mm-hmm.
great show tonight, Naomi. Thank you very much. And have
a
good night, everyone.
Have a good night. Bye, Pam. It was a fun night.